Okay, Chevra, so last time we learned, we began to get into some of the practical elements of Dinei Yoledes. In particular, we saw that the Pesukei Tshuva in Sifkatin Ches quotes a tshuva of the Nachla Shiva. Okay, just to review, the Nachla Shiva says that a woman, the case was that she began to go into labor. She calls the midwife. She sits down on the birthing stool. And kimtz again, nothing happens. She doesn't have a baby. So what's the din in that case? So the Nachla Shiva says that the minhag of the women in Poland is that she is tamei aleda. And the minhag of Ashkenaz is that she was not tamei aleda. And the Nachla Shiva tainos that the minhag of Poland is better than the minhag of Ashkenaz. First of all, everybody knows that all the Jews in Poland are super duper religious, so all the Jews in Poland, right, they have minhagim that we can rely on. Moreover, says the Nachla Shiva, the people in Poland kind of, they have a minhag. The people in Germany are saying that we're not sure if we have a minhag, and therefore lo ra'inu is not a raya, and therefore, says the Nachla Shiva, we should follow the minhag of Poland. And then the Nachla Shiva tainos that I have a shtickle raya from the dinim of Hilchas Shabbos that the minhag of Poland is correct. You see, the Gemara in Shabbos and Kuf Chav Tes discusses at what point do we machalo Shabbos for a yoledes, for a woman who is in parturition. At what point do we assume that we can be machalo Shabbos? So there are three simanim that's found in the Gemara. Either when her friends carry her, when she can no longer walk, or when blood comes out. Alternatively, the Gemara says, Mishi Yoshva al Hamashber. And there's a machlekes of Yishayinim, do you need two of these signs, only one of these signs? And says the Nachlas Shiva, in his opinion, even if you assume that le'inyan Shabbos, you need two signs, but le'inyan nida hachamura, one sign is sufficient. That's what the Nachlas Shiva said. Now, when we learned this Nachlas Shiva, we said, whoa, slowly. First of all, preferring Poland over Germany, that will not fly in Washington Heights. The minhagim in Germany, ad hayom hazeh, the German kahilas are very makbid on their minhagim, no? The yekis take minhagim very seriously. It's hard to say as a fundamental rule that the minhagim in Poland are better than the minhagim in Germany. Moreover, the fact that he's more machmir by Hilchos Nida than he is by Hilchos Shabbos. He says by Hilchos Nida, everybody would hold one sign is enough. Haraya, that one of the three signs is when she begins to see blood, and at that point, of course, you're in Nida. So one second, you're more machmir by Nida than you are by Shabbos. That don't make sense. Shabbos is Pekuach Nefesh. Pekuach Nefesh is like the most severe thing in Judaism, no? So we didn't understand this Nachla Shiva. We didn't understand it at all. Nonetheless, the Sidrei Tahara in Sifkatin Chaf Hei says, in Sifkatin Chaf Hei in the Sidrei Tahara, he writes, you know what? Halacha Lamaisa, he agrees fundamentally with the Nachla Shiva in his main Yisoid, which is that we compare Nida to Shabbos. And fundamentally, that is an apt comparison, says the Sidrei Tahara. And Zakta Sidrei Tahara, if you have a minhag that you are going to, if you have a minhag that you treat the woman like a nida once she sits on the birthing stool, you have to keep the minhag. Like if you're from Poland, you have to keep the minhag. However, says the Sidrei Tahara, la maisa, if you don't have such a minhag, you could be megol, because the Sidrei Tahara says, we can tell you that igloi milsa lamafreya, Igloi Milsa Lemafreya, that she was not Anida. Igloi Milsa Lemafreya, that was not Leda. Right? In other words, the Sidrei Tahara tainos that the comparison between Nida and Shabbos is a good comparison, right? That's the fundamental yesod of the Nachla Shiva. And in a makom where you have a minhag, you have to keep the minhag. However, says the Sidrei Tahara, if you don't have a minhag, so we will assume that if there was no leida, if nothing came out, so igrei Muslim afreya, that the thing that you thought was psichas hakever, it really isn't. That's what the Sidrei Tahara says. Now, just one ha'ara within the Sidrei Tahara, no? Sidrei Tahara writes at the very end, we mentioned, that if there is a minhag, you have, right, like let's say you're from Poland, you have to be chayshish for it. That l'cha'ora is against the beginning of the Sidrei Tahara, no? Sidrei Tahara writes at the beginning of this Shtikot Torah and Sifkot in Chafei that by a davar she'eno matzoi lo shayich minhag. There's like a general rule in Torah. It's kind of broad, no? Minhagim are only shayich if it's something that happens. If it's something that never happens, so you can't say that minhag is shayich, no? This is one of the tainus that some people had against the thing that we wrote regarding women rabbis. They said, how can you say there's a long-standing minhag in Klal Yisrael not to have women rabbis when there were never women who were educated enough to be rabbis? This was an argument that many people were saying against the piece that we wrote. L'cha'ora, we were deflecting that in our piece because we brought many sources that educated women were common over generations, no? This idea that B'davar She'eno Matzoi L'Shayich Minhag, it's an idea that's found in the Shach in Simin Aleph of Yerideh, it's found in the Shach in Simin Reis Samachei of Hilchos Mila, right? It's a common idea. This became the topic of a certain shiur that was supposed to be given in yeshiva, and then there was like a whole controversy about signs pulled down, right? Ani lo rotze levaeret ko hadvarim, but hameven yavin. Lecha ora, that's the yisaid. That if it's a davar she'eno matzoi, lo shayich minhag. You have to prove that it happened, right?
Why can't you just have a minhag that only applies
in... So the Svara, I think, is based on the idea that minhag means that what Klal Yisrael does, im einam neviim b'nei neviim heim. Klal Yisrael does this all the time, so therefore there has to be something right to it. It's coming from the place of... It's coming from the place of... Klaiso's doing something, so it's got to be right. There has to be some makar. Now, that only makes sense if it's something that came up often enough. Like, if you say Klaiso's doing it. If it happens once, and then 100 years later again, and 100 years later again, you can't say that there's a tradition that Jews do this. I think that's the idea. And this Sidrei Tahara, by the way, in Sivkatun Chafei, is a very important yesod. What I don't really understand is at the beginning of Sukkot and Chafei, he says, B'davar she'eno matzoi, le'shayich minhag. Then at the end of that paragraph, of the paragraph begins with Kosaf, he writes, B'makom d'nahagu iser, yesh lahaniach minhagan, ki hu chumra, shishro k'tzas tam. Right? L'cha'ora, it is a teeny bit of a stira within the Sidrei Tahara. This is something I was bothered by in my youth. Okay. But Hayotze, the Sidrei Tahara develops an idea that fundamentally we compare Shabbos to Nida, and fundamentally you should be a Nida when you have one of those simanim, but equally, Moshe Mafreya, in this case, that the simin was a fake. It was a fake out, no? Because she sits on the mashbear, right? A mashbear is a birthing stool. I could, as a man, sit down on the birthing stool. That don't create psichas hakever, no? I'm a guy. Can't be psichas hakever. Right? So Yashra la mashbir can't be the din itself. And in this case, she sat down by accident, so that doesn't prove anything. If the baby is born, So then from the Zman of Yashvala Mashbeh, when we're Michal HaShavis, we'll also say that you're a Nida from that time. That's the Yisoid of the Sidrei Tahara. Good? Now, there's another opinion in Judaism who disagrees with the Nachlas Shiva, but Hama'agin Heitev B'Devarov Yir'eh Shelo Taimo Kazeh Shetaimo Ketaimo Shozeh. Right? That the reason of this other opinion, which is the Chavis Das, is different than the reason of the Sidrei Tahara. And the Chavis Das of Katan Aleph, he tainas, Hod aminon iyav shel psichas akeva b'loidam, haynu davka kishehipila eze dover, diniftach akeva kol kach, ad sheyotza mimeno. Oz aminon iyav shel psichas akeva b'loidam, avak sheniftach akeva v'lo yotza mimeno dover, af dam eno yaitze. Ve'ein raya mimasha chashuva chola, lo mashe yotza gam ke mimeno dam. Zot the Chavis Das. You can't compare Hilchas Shabbos to Hilchas Nida. The fact that in Hilchas Shabbos you are considered a Nida, but the fact that in Hilchas Shabbos, excuse me, we're going to Michal Shabbos, that's because Pekuach Nefesh is very severe. Right? Even Suffolk Pekuach Nefesh or Michal. But in Nida, you're not going to be a Nida. Don't compare Shabbos to Nida. And the Raya that the Chavis Das has for his Yesod is from a din later on in this Simen in Kuf Tzadi Dalet. We learn later on in Kuf Tzadi Dalet about a case of a woman who has what's called in Poskim Nituach Kesari. What is Nituach Kesari?
C-section.
C-section, good, right? A Kesar is a Caesar, no? Nituach Kesari is a C-section. Now, in the case of Nituach Kesari, what happens? So, in our world, you schedule them months in advance. But in their world, it used to be that a woman would begin to go into labor, and you have the doctor, the midwife working on her, and they see the baby's not coming, so they have to do an emergency surgery. That means, l'cha'ira, she was yashval hamashber, right? You sat down on the birthing stool, but it didn't come. And the din is that a netuach kesari is not Tumeya Leda, no? That's the halacha. And Nituach Kesari, Nechta Chavla B'me'eha, Hoitzi, here, where is it? Yotze Dofen, this is Kuf Tzadi Dalet Sif Yudalet. Yotze Dofen, Im Lo Yotze Mimeno Dam, El Adarach HaDofen, Ima Tahira Mileda, Umi Nido, Umi Zava. Right by your C-section, if no blood comes out vaginally, you're Tahira. By the way, Mitzios is if you have a C-section, you're Tameya. In our world, C-sections mean there is always vaginal blood. Let's repeat that. Right? Don't give me any of this. Oh, Rabbi, I'm a big lamdan. Nituach Kesari, Tahora. Strike. It don't work. Because, right, Nituach Kesari, Lamaisa, you are Tameya if blood comes out vaginally.
Why would blood come out?
What?
Why would blood come out?
It does.
Okay.
That is the... I'm not a OBGYN, nor do I want to be an OB... In terms of the jobs that I really do not want in my life, OBGYN is up there. I have no idea why. It's the Mitzvah. But Frek the Chavis Das, he says, I don't understand. Nituach Kesari, technically speaking, is not going to be Temeya. Aishu is Yashval Hamashber. So the Chavis Das says a Yesod. And this Yesod, by the way, can be seen if you read the Pisrei Tshuva Sof Sifkat and Dalet. Pisrei Tshuva says that we only say Iyav Shalom Psichas HaKer B'Loidam in a case where something comes out. And that's what the Chavis Das time is. Chavis Das time is you're only Temeya if something comes out. And the Chavis Das says, and we're not going to compare Nida to Shabbos. So now we basically have two reasons to argue on the Nachlas Shiva, no? One reason in the Sidrei Tahara, that if Igloi Moslem Afreya, it wasn't Psichas HaKever. Reason two to argue is the Chavis Das, The Chavis Das says that the only time I say Yiyash HaPsichas HaKevur Lo'idam is when something comes out. If nothing comes out, you are Tahora. Are there any nafkaminas between these two reasons? So look in Tshuvas Igris Moshe, Chelek Beis of Yeridaya, Simin Ayin Vav. Hagoyim Moshe Feinstein, who, by the way, lived in New York City. Rabbi say it's possible to become a Talmud Chacham if you live in New York City.
Was he born in Russia?
I see that living in New York City is not mafkia, the possibility of being a Talmud Chacham. Moshe was a Talmud Chacham l'chol ha'deos, right? The man knew, like, everything in Judaism. So Moshe writes that he thinks there's a nafkamina between the Chavis Das's reason and the Sidrei Tahara's reason. Does a woman have to do a bedika? This case, a woman sits down, she thinks she's in labor. You go to the hospital. By the way, this is not uncommon. Sometimes women go to the hospital a few times before the actual time, no? A few times. So, is she Tameya? Well, she's not Tameya, right? She went, and nothing happened. She went, and Glei Mosam, I'm afraid it was a fake. But you have to do a bedika. So Moshe argues that according to the Chavis Das's reason, you have to do a bedika. Because Zakt Reb Moshe, for the Chavis Das, the only reason I'm Tahira is because nothing came out. But normally speaking, when you go into labor, something will come out. And therefore, Zakt Reb Moshe, I have to do a bedika to make sure nothing came out. You have to, Zakt Reb Moshe within the Chavis Das, you have to do a bedika that nothing came out. However, according to the Sidrei Tahara, the pshat is that when you go into labor, you have a baby. This woman did not go into labor. If she did not go into labor, so there's no need to do a bedika at all. That's a nafkamina that Reb Moshe suggests between the Chavis Das and the Sidrei Tahara's reason. Another nafkamina that we could give between the reasoning of the Chavis Das and the reasoning of the Sidrei Tahara works as I. Let's say a full day passes and she hasn't yet had a baby. According to the Chavis Das, fundamentally you are Tahira. According to Chavis Das, when you sit down on the birthing stool, you're only going to be Tameya when something comes out. If nothing has come out, fundamentally you are Tahira. If the day has passed, we assume nothing's going to be coming out, you're going to be Tahira. According to the Sidrei Tahara, Lav Dafka. Because it could be that this is still something that will produce a baby. This is all found there in that tshuva in Igris Moshe. It's kedai to read that tshuva. Chilak beisim and ayin vav. Another possible nafkamina is azoi. Let's say a woman goes into labor, and the labor is early, so the doctors feel that they have to stop the labor. You see, women don't want to go into preterm labor. Men don't want their wives to go into preterm labor. Human beings don't want human beings to go into preterm labor. Preterm labor, if the baby is born early, that could be a recipe for having terrible, terrible illnesses, Rahman al-Utslan. No? Babies who are born in the 8th month, the Gemara speaks about how babies can be born in the 7th month, babies can be born in the 9th month. No? In our world, we don't know any Yoledes L'Zayin, but we do know that Yoledes L'Ches in the 8th month, which is when you most often have preterm labor, the organs are not fully developed. And a baby who's born in the 8th month can end up having very serious complications. It turns out, by the way, even Ad Hayom Hazeh, a baby that's born earlier, will do better with incubation than a baby that's born in the 8th month. The 8th month happens to be a dangerous time. So you don't want preterm labor. A woman goes into labor, so they want to stop the labor. How do you stop labor, by the way? Well, there's some medications that can stop labor. Another way to stop labor is drink lots of wine. No? Usually you tell pregnant women, don't drink wine, no? By the way, one of the best rayas, if you have a couple over and like the wife says, can I please have grape juice for Kiddush? Aha! Eureka! No? It's a raya. Because most people, most normal human beings, prefer the blue bottle to virtually everything on the planet. You know? The stuff is good. I happen to prefer the white Carmel Moscato to the blue bottle, but that's a different cheer that we could get. It happens that drinking wine slows down labor. And it could stop the labor sometimes. So you tell a woman to drink wine, we try to stop the labor. Well, if you stop the labor, what happens in that case? What happens in terms of Hilchos Nida? So in the Sefer Pischei Tshuva, not the Pischei Tshuva on the bottom of the page, there's a volume, Pischei Tshuvos. It's like a red volume. In that red volume, he points out that if you hold like the Chavastas, well, so nothing came out, so you're not in Nida. But if I hold like the Sidrei Tahara, the only reason I'm not in Nida is because it glory Moselam Afreya. That what? That the baby wasn't born. But I can't say glory Moselam Afreya if I stopped it. No? Hasver no sinus. I go into labor, and then I have to do a pu'ula to stop that labor. So I can't say igloi moselam afreya in that case. So in that case, according to Sidrei Tahara, you would be Tameya, not according to the Chavistas. Okay, so these are some of the issues that we should discuss. Now, often in the eighth month, women have contractions, which are Braxton Hicks contractions. These contractions, bederech klal, do not mean anything in terms of Leda. And women are able to tell the difference between the contractions that like push, that you feel that the cervix is dilating, and those contractions that you don't feel any dilation. The Braxton Hicks contractions don't really do anything. Now, the question that comes up is as follows. Halacha l'maisa, what point do you become a nida? So we said, three simanim in the Gemara, no? Women carry you, blood comes out, or Yashal HaMashber. Now, in our world, these three simanim are not so pasha to be applied. These three simanim all sound like some degree of active labor. However, in our world, when women have babies, generally speaking, they put you on a bed to labor. No? Generally speaking, right? You've been there. Right? They put you on the bed. And therefore, the old Metzius of Yashval HaMashber, which was probably like, I feel the baby coming, sit down, baby is born. No? The really active pushing, that Metzius doesn't exist. So when you're on a bed, in the medical condition, L'cha'ora, it's hard to tell when you are in Ida. Reb Moshe Feinstein, Chelak Beis Semin Ayin He, says once you're on the bed, that's the halachic equivalent of Yashval HaMashber. Rav Schechter, in the Rav Sobolovsky book, page 305, the best part of the Rav Sobolovsky book are the notes in the back from Rav Schechter, Rav Willig, and Rav Neuberger, no? Rav Schechter, page 305, Tainas, you are in Nida whenever you sit on the bed, because we're not sure that maybe you would be Yashva al HaMashber if you would have that option. That's like what Rav Moshe says. Hanerulafi in the Estaiti, that if you take a childbirth class with midwives, so midwives actually will give you the whole Torah. They want about what stage of labor you're in. In the early stages of labor, labor is a bit of a discomfort. They tell you at the early stages of labor, go out with your wife, go to dinner, eat a nice meal. It's going to be the last meal that you guys are going to get without hiring a babysitter. Go out. And you know what? You get a contraction during the meal. You put the fork down for a minute. You say, ouch. That's the very beginning of labor. Ouch. But labor develops. It gets closer and closer and closer, no? The contractions begin to speed up. Okay? You guys who aren't married yet or haven't had babies yet, wait. Trust me. This will be useful. Mirza Hashem will be useful. The beginning of labor, not such a big deal. Then labor has like a middle stage. The middle stage of labor is when the midwives will tell you, you know what, massage will help, relaxing a little bit, listening to music will help. It's painful already. And it's coming pretty quickly, like, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 minutes, something like that. But you know what? Nishtas legeferloch, it happens. You can, a little bit of a massage, relaxation can still help. And then you get to a stage called transition. Transition is mamish gehenum ba'olam hazeh. Transition is the most intense, painful thing. I told you that, like, the worst thing I ever told my wife at one point is after I had kidney stones. So I repeated to my wife what the doctor said, which is that kidney stones are as painful as labor. Word to the wise, don't say that.
That's your fault. Half a given.
What's Emma's number? We'll just say it like that. The yesod is that there are different stages of labor. Hanir Lofian is that you have all the simonim in the Gemara. Your friends are carrying you, you're sitting down on the birthing stool, etc. Those simonim are blood comes out, those are simonim of mamish transition, or the really active labor. And what that means is, even when you're on the bed, until the contractions are really coming quickly, you don't have to be choshesh for nida. Now, at what point do we say that you're nida? It's still not abundantly clear. Rav Neuberger Shlita quotes from Rav David Lifshitz, who lived in my building, Kayadoa. So Rav David used to say 7 minutes apart. When contraction is 7 minutes apart, you become a nida. In the Sefer Mara Kohen, 4 minutes apart. Others say 3 minutes apart. So all of these are just ways of determining what is considered active labor. Probably 3-4 minutes apart is considered active labor. You better be in the hospital by 3-4 minutes apart. No? They usually tell you to go to the hospital 10 minutes apart. Now, what that means, l'cha'ora, is as follows. The Sidrei Tahara there in Sivkatan Chafhei Tainas, that you become a nido when you call the Miyaladas. In our world, that's not true, because I'm going to call the doctor when the contractions are 15 minutes apart. That's garnishment garnished. No? I'm going to call the doctor really early on. I'm going to go into the hospital pretty early on. They will call the Mialedes in their world. You live in a community of like 25 people. You call the Mialedes. It takes a minute for the Mialedes to come over. And then the Mialedes is there to catch. No? That's the way it worked. In our world, that's too early. In our world, we don't call the Mialedes that late. We call the Mialedes much earlier. I don't think the minig in the Sidrei Tahara that you become a nida from the time I can call the Mialedes is really apt. You become a nida at some time when active labor begins. I usually tell people around 4 minutes. I usually use the shiur of the Marakayan in my shiurim. That's what I tell people. Now, at some point in the labor process... Yeah.
I
think even while you're on the bed, we can. There's certain times that we know for sure it's not active labor. Whenever there's a suffix of active labor, then you have to not touch your wife anymore. But
I think on the bed, if it's 5 minutes apart, you still six.
I don't know if five is like an exact shear. Right. Whenever you assume active labor is beginning, it happens like transition. You don't know it's transition until Lamafreya, right? Right, when it's all done, you're like, oh, that was the transition. Right? And like that's usually when your wife is saying, I don't know if I can do it. I don't know. It's not pashut. And by the way, in our world also, if you have an epidural is a shot that they put in your back, no? And it basically, it takes away ve'etzev tel dibonim. It really takes away the pain. It happens, the shot itself can be painful. It happens that Batya Reichman, Batya Bronstein, no, Yosef Bronstein's wife, had a very serious complication from epidural. It's not unheard of. It's not so poshut that epidurals are great. Because there have been women who had women who we know, who are in this community, chosh of women, Right? Wives are very chashuv of people. Yossi Bronstein is like a superstar, no? It's not so pashut.
It
does take away the pain, but you can have very serious complications from it. It's not totally risk-free. Doctors today like giving epidurals. Because why be in such pain? That's what they'll tell you. And most women will say, why take an epidural? Why not take an epidural? Excuse me. Like, as most women will say, once you have epidurals, it's also harder to tell exactly what stage you're up to. Because the pain is not as intense, no? So you're not going to be... Again, you can see. They have like this little computer printout, like with where the contractions are. Line, boop, line. Boop, boop, boop. Right, those types of things. Like they can register the intensity of the contractions, but it's not so... it's not the same as when you're experiencing the pain. So it's hard to tell. Again, I think, generally speaking, 4 minutes is like a valid shear. Now, sometimes a woman, especially at late in her later pregnancies, when you're up to child number 3, child number 4, Mirta Hashem, so in those cases, generally speaking, the cervix is dilated, like from month 7 or 8 and on. You already have a significant amount of dilation. Now, some posts can give the shear not in terms of the contractions, but in terms of the amount of dilation. But very often, you are going to be very dilated from early on. The Pashtus is Reb Moshe. I don't know the Pashtus. Reb Moshe writes in Chilat Beis Simen Ayin Hey, I think, Ayin Vav. Forgot already. So Moshe writes in one of the tshuvas that he thinks if you're dilated to the shear of a nickel or a quarter, so then halachically you're a nida. Most assume, and this is found both in the Shevet Halevi and in Reb Nissen Karelitz's Chut HaShoni on page 210, most assume that dilation per se does not make you a nida. It's only dilation that's pushing the baby out. In later pregnancies, you dilate very early, and you dilate to a significant amount without any real pain. So that's not nida. That's not yoledas. It doesn't really cause anything. It's only those dilations, right, when it opens up in order for the baby to come out, only then do you become a nida. So the things that are in the 8th month are probably, right, you could be dilated, let's say, 3-4 centimeters by the 8th month, in some cases. Doesn't mean anything. Even if you hold the 3-4 centimeters of dilation, would be yoledes, nida, in regular case. That's when you're starting from zero. But if you dilate just tamazoi, so everyone assumes that's nothing. Moreover, in the Shevet HaLevi, page 245, Rav Vosner Tainas, then we speak about dilation, it's never clear in the poskim. We're talking about dilation of the internal as or the external as. External as goes from vagina into cervix. Internal as goes from cervix into uterus. It's not clear in poskim what we talk about. We spoke about this in our shiurim about Yashal Psichas HaKeva B'loi Dam. Remember? In our youth, we gave shiurim about these topics in Kuf Peiches. So, unclear, internal as or external as. Zot Rav Vosner, you can rely on those opinions that dilation means the internal as. And when the doctors tell you that you're 4 centimeters dilated, that means the external as. Now it happens that in later terms of pregnancy, the cervix becomes like effaced. See, the cervix is the type of tissue sort of like your vocal cords. No, there's like a lot of bumps on it, no? Like bumpy, 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 that's a cervix. And it could like bend outward like this. That's like it gets effaced. It happens in later stages. It's really hard to distinguish between internal as and external as. But says Rav Vosner, he's inclined that only dilation of the internal as really creates nida. Anything from the external as does not create nida. Good? Now, let's go right there. There's a few other things that we should talk about. Remember, if you see blood, you're a nida, correct? Okay, gentlemen. There's something called the bloody show. The bloody show is a mucus plug, no? There is a mucus plug around the cervix, which is there, the Ribbono Shel Olam made it, that this mucus plug does not allow any bacteria on the outside of the woman to get into the baby. The baby is inside, and the baby has to be protected. How is it protected? The Ribbono Shel Olam made this mucus plug that does not allow any bacteria on the outside to get in. Well, when the mucus plug comes out, there's going to be a lot of blood. That's called the bloody show. What's the halacha of the bloody show? Is the bloody show going to make you nida or not? Sheva Talevi, page 245, is Machmir. Rebbe Yashiv is quoted in that Pischei Chuvis book, note 30, as being Mekel, but in the Nishmas Avram, page 183, he quotes that Rebbe Yashiv is Machmir. Rabbi Sabolovsky, in his book, page 14, 15, and 16, is Mekel on the mucus plug. We know that the mucus plug is entirely external. What about when the water breaks? Okay, so gentlemen, what is the water breaking? Water breaking is asoi. There's something called amniotic fluid. The baby, again, the Ribbono Shel Olam made that the baby is inside the mother, surrounded by this liquid called the amniotic fluid, no? Inside what is the placenta, no? The placenta is a sac, right? Guys, anyone took high school bio? Remember this? Right? Placenta is like a sac. Inside placenta you have amniotic fluid, and the baby is like swimming around inside the amniotic fluid. Nachon? I think this is like fairly pashut. This is like ninth grade. Right? Not so difficult. Now, sometimes at the very end of pregnancy, the amniotic sac will get a hole in it, and amniotic fluid will come out. No? That is called the breaking of the water. What's the din by the breaking of the water? Many are machmir by the breaking of the water. And they are machmir not because that itself creates nida, but they are machmir because mistoma, there is blood that comes out. Some, like the Chut HaShani, like Rav Nissim Karelitz, they say that there's a difference if a lot of water comes out or if a little water comes out. I'm with one of our children, my wife calls me, I think she texted me or something on a Friday morning, she's like, right? The water came out. How do you know it's out? You know. It's a mamish. It's like a swimming pool. A lot of water comes out. So, Reb Nissim Karelat says, a lot of water or machmir. A little bit of water, you don't have to be machmir. The svar is a little bit of water, you would notice if there's blood. A lot of water, you might not notice. It's so much water, maybe there was blood, etc. That's what Reb Nissim Karelat says, and a very similar thing is said by Rav Lozner on page 245 in the Shi'urei Sheva Talevi. Rav Sabolovsky is machmir on the water breaking that you're in need of. Rav Schechter in Rav Sabolovsky's book, page 305, is mekel on the water breaking. Rav Schechter feels that the water breaking does not make you a need at all. That if you notice that there's blood in the chanami, but mehecha tesi, you have to be choishish that blood comes out. Now it happens just. The mitzias is once the water breaks, so the baby is no longer protected from infection, no? Kozman, the baby's inside the amniotic sac, right? With the amniotic fluid, the baby's protected. But after the bloody show, after the mucus plug comes out, and after the water breaks, the baby's not protected anymore, no? So the doctors won't let you go for a long time after the water breaks. The doctors will say, come in, and we are going to induce labor. You get like 24 hours after the water breaks, and then if you don't go into labor, they will induce labor, they will inject you with Pitocin, and they will begin the labor process. Azoigetos. Now, with our daughter Bruria, the water broke on a Friday morning, and they give you 24 hours. Friday late afternoon, we went into the hospital, no? Because we know we don't have that much longer. The poskim say, if you know you're going to have to go in on Shabbos, that's just the way it goes. They only give you 24 hours. And you know you're going to have to go in on Shabbos, you may as well go in Erev Shabbos. It's Erev Shabbos, Chol HaMoed Pesach. We went in. I realized that once we get to the hospital, I don't have that much food. I ran over to Fairway in the city. I went to the hospital on 58th Street with my wife. Ran over to Fairway. I bought as much Kosher Pesach stuff as I could get. It happens that the kosher meal that they gave my wife had a challah roll on it. Not so Passover dick. What can you do? So I bought as much kosher Pesach stuff. Most of the stuff that I got was like chocolate bars. By the way, nishtas like a fairloch. Right? You could have you could spend the Shabbos eating matzah and chocolate bars, and you can get pretty full on it. It doesn't taste that bad. That was a story when Perea was born. They don't let you go that long after the water breaks. Basically speaking, they're worried that maybe infection will develop in the will develop with the baby, chas v'shalom, etc. Okay. There is a whole discussion. Maybe should we talk tomorrow? Should I give like a share about like the Hilchos Shabbos, about the Hilchos Shabbos dimensions of it tomorrow? Just learn through Shin Lamed. It's important, Dinam. It's not part of Hilchos Nida, but Lamaisa, we don't do enough Hilchos Shabbos in the Smicha program anyway. So learn Aruch Hayim Shin Lamed with the Mishnah Berurah tomorrow, and we'll discuss it. Say there. Did we forget anything in terms of? There's one Hilchos Nida thing that we didn't forget. Let's just talk about one thing. There's a truth in the Beis Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkis. If you remember, we had a big machlokas haposkin about what's the din of psichas hakever mibachotz. No, remember the Noi de Yehuda holds that there is psichas hakever mibachotz. That's the last paragraph of the Noi de Yehuda, Simon Kuf Chof. The Chochma Sodom was mesupik. It could be there's no psichas hakever mibachotz. Generally speaking, we're machmir. Frek the Beis Yitzchak in Chelak Beis Simon Yudalin. He asks the following kasha. He says, if you look in the Pesachei Tshuva, Seif Sif Katan Daled, Pesachei Tshuva quotes in the Noda B'Yehuda, an idea that's very similar to the Chavos Das that we mentioned earlier. The Chavos Das says, only except Pesachos Kev, something comes out. And the Noda B'Yehuda says the same idea. It's only Pesachos Kev if something comes out. As Nishalat HaSheilah, one second, dear Noda B'Yehuda, how can you tell me that there's Pesachos Kev Mibachutz, but nothing comes out? Right? There's no substance that emerges. So that's a Beis Yitzchak's kasha. It's a very strong kasha. There's some Achreinim say, maybe only by Psichas HaKem Mibifnim, you need something to come out, not by Psichas HaKem Mibachutz. The Beis Yitzchak, however, has a different suggestion. Beis Yitzchak says, that the din of Psichas HaKem Mibachutz, again, this is like relevant for gynecological procedures and the like, the din of Psichas HaKem Mibachutz is that what goes in comes out. You stick an instrument in, and take the instrument out. So when that instrument comes out, that's in this psichas hakever mibachutz. Ubekahay gavna, we are choshesh for dinim of nida. Again, obviously there is much more to say. Actually, should I talk about one more thing in Hilchos Nida? There is a discussion of Tuchovsky, who's a very big Talmud Chacham. He was under Rabbanut, chief Bezin Yerushalayim. Rabbi Tuchovsky has a big kula that he is mekel on the husband holding his wife. When she's in childbirth. During childbirth, he says that you're allowed to touch your wife. I think this is not correct. Most Achreinim most of the poskim really disagree with Rabbi Duchovsky. Rabbi Duchovsky's kula is based on the fact that the whole concern of Nagia is that it might lead to Bia. Your wife is about to have a baby. You're not going to have Bia, right? But nonetheless, I think we are machmir on this against Rav Duchovsky. Again, read through the Sidrei Taharis of Katan Chafei if you haven't done it already. There's a lot more to say, but our minig is that we never say share for more than 45 minutes, and we're getting close to 45, so we have to, so we have to break share now. But Emiyas Hashem, tomorrow maybe we'll talk about Aruch Hayim Shin Lamed, because we didn't get there today. Okay, gentlemen, have a wonderful, blessed day.